are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's get back at it, everybody. A Locked On Lions edition, Tuesday, October 8th and a Wednesday, October 9th. Matt Derry with you on the Locked On Podcast Network, talking Detroit Lions. And we do so each and every day right here on Megaphone.fm, iTunes, Amazon Alexa, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, the Himalaya Podcast app, wherever you download and listen to the podcast. We appreciate you joining us for a big week, certainly. And we're going to have Chris Burke from TheAthletic.com, covers the Detroit Lions, join me momentarily. Talk about Monday night. Can you believe this? We are just 6 days away from Lions-Packers in Green Bay. 4-1 Green Bay. 2-1-1 Lions, fresh off a bye, hopefully getting healthy. And this is as much of an anticipated regular season game as I can remember in a long time for this franchise, because if Detroit wins and gets to 3-1-1, they get into first place in the division, and they'd be the only team in the division with just one loss, getting into first place, going into Green Bay and winning. And I know last year the Lions swept the Packers, and it's not like Matt Patricia hasn't beaten the Packers before, and the Lions have won a couple of times now here at Lambeau recently, but this is Aaron Rodgers. This is Aaron Rodgers, healthy and at his best right now, at home, under the lights on Monday Night Football. The Packers just lost to Philadelphia under the lights on Thursday Night Football at home a couple of weeks ago, and the odds are kind of stacked against the Lions to get this done. But I believe they can. And I'm not ready to predict that they're going to win, but we'll talk about it with Chris. I think the Lions match up pretty well with Green Bay. We're brought to you today by our friends at MyBookie. If you're going to bet on the NFL, baseball, whatever, check out MyBookie.ag, and by our friends at Blue Chew, B-L-U-E-Chew, BlueChew.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks on Twitter, the Matt Derry Facebook fan page as well, where you can comment on anything that we talk about. We post the podcast, of course, on Twitter and on the Facebook page. Nathan Littke, my good buddy Nate. What's going on, Nate? As always, is in charge of the ESPN Power Rankings. I didn't put him in charge of this, but he is he's picked up the slack as one of our listeners. And I appreciate you guys listening and commenting on anything that we talk about. But Nate on Twitter hooked me up with the ESPN.com Power Rankings. I want to go over those real fast before we get Chris Burke in here. But you think about where the Lions stand right now amongst, you know, ESPN and the experts. And we talked last week about USA Today's Nate Davis putting the Lions as the number four team after they lost, after a defeat at the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, right now, if you look at the ESPN.com NFL Power Rankings, you see the top two teams, not a surprise, Patriots at 5-0. Chiefs lost Sunday, so they dropped down. But the Saints are now at 4-1, and they're playing very well, even with the injury to Drew Brees. But boy, Michael Thomas is killing it, and Teddy Jam for me, Bridgewater, is getting it done as well. Chiefs are number three at 4-1. Packers at 4-1 after the win over Dallas, sitting at number four, up two spots from last week. Then you've got Seattle, San Francisco, unbeaten at 4-0. The Rams at 3-2. Cowboys at 3-2, and then Philly and Buffalo. And the Bills are at 4-1. And look, the Bills are never going to get their proper respect, but the Bills Mafia, Buffalo's playing some good football right now. By the way, did anybody see this video of this Bills Mafia fan that ran and jumped over this wall and then tried to land on the table and landed face first into the lawn? I hope that guy's all right. Man, those Bills Mafia people are crazy. Anyway, the Lions come in the NFL Power Rankings at number 16, right in the middle at 2-1-1, and actually down a spot from last week's ranking of 15. And they rank behind the Minnesota Vikings, who are 14, and the Chicago Bears at 13. So the Lions come in last in the NFC North, if you want to count it that way. Boy, what a win would do for this franchise if they somehow were to go into Lambeau and win on Monday night. Michael Rothstein writes the following. Surprise fantasy player Kerryon Johnson. Johnson would be the first one to tell you he doesn't care about his fantasy production, just what his teammates and coaches are asking of him. But it hasn't been the most productive fantasy year for him, topping 50 yards just once and scoring twice in 4 weeks. However, Johnson looks like he found something in his most recent contest against Kansas City. in which he rushed for 125 yards. The schedule doesn't get much easier with Green Bay and Minnesota next, but Johnson appears to have found some rhythm, which should bode well the rest of the season. Well, he's going to be a huge factor Monday night in establishing the run. And look, one of the reasons why the Lions stayed in the game last week against the Chiefs was because they kept Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs Kingdom offense off the field. They did so by running the football, having some success with Kerryon Johnson, the play-action game with Matthew Stafford, and the Lions were right there at the end, nearly stealing one from the Chiefs. Same thing's going to happen this week. Think about all these quarterbacks that this Lions defense has had to face lately. Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Patrick Mahomes, and now Aaron Rodgers this next Monday night. So keep that in mind. But the Lions sitting at 16, I think, is a bit low. I think they're better than that, and they have the opportunity to kind of prove some doubters wrong when it comes to Monday night's game. Spread still sits around 5, 4.5, 5 for the game with the Packers as the favorites. All right, Chris Burke is going to join me from The Athletic momentarily. Let's talk about my bookie. If you want to watch some football, you want to bet on the games, game-winning touchdowns, two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines, nothing beats the NFL. There's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on the games. Do the smart thing, everybody. Go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts, better lines than any other sports book. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you are betting on. And MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where my friends go and where you should go as well. All right, do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this season, bet with MyBookie. Maybe if you like to bet a little bit, try a parlay, bet second halves of games. They do all sorts of prop bets. It's a lot of fun. All you got to do is check out MyBookie.ag. If you join them now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to activate the offer. You put in $50, they put in $50. You put in $1,000, they put in $1,000. How about that? Free money for MyBookie. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You play, you win, you get paid. Joining me right now from TheAthletic.com covers the Lions, formerly of SI. It's our buddy Chris Burke as the Lions get ready to go to Green Bay and getting back to work on Wednesday. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well, buddy. This has been fun, right? 2-1-1 and the bye, I think, coming at a good time. And now, right out of the bye, what a big game next Monday night, huh?
Yeah, well, that was what I sort of was telling people going into the Kansas City game, that, you know, just doing radio hits and whatever sort of around the country, like if the Lions had managed to win that game, people would be just be going nuts around here. And I think there's still some of that excitement because of how well they played and how, like you said, how big this game is. And if you go steal one at Lambeau, it certainly sets up things pretty well for the last 11 weeks.
And I said this yesterday on the podcast, I think the Lions have a shot here. I look at the Vegas number coming down. I see the matchups. The way Dallas was able to throw the ball down the field against Green Bay on Sunday, and I know the Packers outplayed them in that game for the most part, but I don't think the Lions are going to go into Green Bay and be this heavy underdog that is in trouble. I think the Lions can play with Green Bay. What do you think?
Yeah, I actually think they match up pretty well, and we kind of saw that last year, the first game when Aaron Rodgers was healthy. I don't really even count that Week 17 game because the Packers looked about as interested as most of the people in the stands is watching that one. So, but the first game, yeah, I think they match up pretty well. The run defense for Green Bay hasn't been great. It was better against Dallas, but it hasn't been great. So you think Kerryon Johnson can get going. As well as Aaron Jones ran the ball Sunday and has done so once or twice, you know how good he is. But, you know, that's not necessarily a great run offense. So the Lions can maybe slow that down. And I think you'll see some of the stuff they used against Kansas City in the pass defense. So I do think they match up pretty well. It's just a matter of, you know, can you go on the road and win in that environment in prime time?
What's it say about Matt Patricia now? We're going on a couple of years here where we've seen some big-name coaches, you know, Belichick after the Super Bowl saying, oh, we stole some things that Patricia and the Lions did in order to bottle up the Rams offense. Same thing now with the Colts kind of mentioning and Mahomes making a comment. Yeah, Indy was doing a lot of what Detroit did to us. Is the Patricia defensive system finally now taking shape?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's certainly part of it. I mean, you kind of, these things always are kind of circular in the NFL. Like, I think some of those, what the Lions did against the Chiefs was what the Patriots did against the Chiefs last time they saw Mahomes and those sorts of things. So it all kind of comes around. But, yeah, I mean, I think you definitely get a feel for them having the personnel more in place that they want. And that Kansas City game was a perfect example because they were able, even with Darius Slay out of the lineup, to really just go play man-to-man defense and rush three or four and play their safeties high and just kind of sit back and play that bend-don't-break style. And like I said, I think they'll probably do a lot of the same things against Aaron Rodgers, because that's kind of been the trick to beating him over the years, is if you can hassle him with three or four guys and try to cover everything else, he might make a mistake or two, and that's kind of how you go about it.
Chris Burke from The Athletic covers the Lions, does a great job of joining me. You mentioned Slay. What do you know about the hamstring, and do you anticipate him no way missing Monday night?
Yeah, well, they've had a lot of time off now. They get back on the field for practice Wednesday, and then go Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday with a walkthrough Friday. But, you know, I think he was pretty close to playing in that Chiefs game. He was out there for warmups. He looked like he was moving okay. He didn't go through everything, but he at least tested it out. You know, you never want to say for sure with a hamstring because those things can linger, but I would expect him to play. He might be questionable this week when they do the injury designations, but I think at this point you got to anticipate that he'll be out there.
Do you – I read your article today. The whole Justin Coleman thing, obviously when he signed, everybody went, wait, who's this guy and who's getting $9 million a year? But they you know, I think most NFL people liked the signing. I don't think anybody fell in love with it, but he's been fantastic and has had to play a lot on the outside. Did you think he'd be this good, and are we going too crazy after just four games?
I didn't know that he'd necessarily be this good. I think he's been one of the more consistent cornerbacks in the league through 4 or 5 weeks, which is pretty impressive, especially, like I mentioned in that article, if you go back to July and August, he didn't look very good. He looked out of it, you know, just had some trouble covering a lot of those guys that the Lions had playing in the slot in camp, and so you kind of wondered how it was going to translate, but the regular season hit, and he's been arguably their best defensive player so far. And yeah, I mean, I think you sort of take it all into just the grand scheme of things, you know, how much money they're spending on him as opposed to, you know, relative to the whole roster. And if they had spent, you know, his money on a quote unquote outside guy and then Rashawn Melvin's money on a slot guy, I don't think anyone would bat an eye. And so you just flip it, and basically they're using him as their number two guy. And Rashawn Melvin's been really good too, which helps. But yeah, I think Justin Coleman's been great so far, and certainly the cornerbacks opposite Darius Slay, from where they were last year to where they are this year, it's been a huge leap so far.
Where are you on Jared Davis? I've never been a huge fan, and maybe it's unfair because of where he was drafted, but you know, struggling. PFF has put the numbers out. Obviously, the first two games have not been his best work. How do you feel about him, and is this a game Monday night that maybe he breaks out, or are you concerned based on you know, what Green Bay has, and especially Jones out of the backfield catching the football?
Yeah, I think they really need a big game from him. Green Bay hasn't been great running the ball outside the tackles, which is where teams have really hurt the Lions so far. But, you know, they got loose a little bit inside and outside against Dallas. And certainly Aaron Jones, like you said, is a really good back. And the Lions, just this system, again, kind of tees up the linebackers and the safeties to make a lot of the plays when the defensive line is just holding guys up. So Jared Davis has got to be really good. And yeah, I mean, it hasn't been a great start. I mean, I guess the counter to that is maybe the matchups that, you know, that Kansas City matchup's a tough one for anyone. And especially, you know, a guy like him, you want him to play in downhill and you want him to be rushing the passer, which we saw him doing last year. And so when a team's spreading the field and sort of forcing him to go sideline to sideline, we kind of know that's a weakness of his now. And I don't know if there's any way to really mask it, because Jelani Tavai's kind of a similar player. You need one of those guys on the field, just the way this linebacker group stacked up. So they need him to be better. They probably need to put him in some better spots. But yeah, this is a big test for him, because you got to take away at least those runs up the middle and try and limit this Green Bay offense a little bit.
And you mentioned Davis rushing the passer. Really, in watching, you know, pretty much every play here like you have, I mean, they're rushing three most of the time, especially in the second and long and third and long situations. And so you're asking to blitz or even send Davis in that capacity, yet, you know, the Pasqualoni Patricia way so far has been just to rush three.
Yeah, and I think they used him a lot against Kansas City as a spy on Patrick Mahomes, which, you know, that sort of limits how much you're going to be in the mix anyway. You're just kind of there waiting, making sure he doesn't go anywhere. And it was also one of the curiosities about that 4th and 8 calls that he wasn't in that spot when they needed him the most, you know. But been necessarily fit his profile all that well. I mean, you can read that as a knock on his overall skill set, because obviously this is a league now where you have to be able to play in coverage and do all these things as a three down guy if you're going to be sort of the rock of that linebacking core. But I think he'll be important this week. He's going to be there moving forward. They're not going to take him off the field if they can help it. And I do think the matchups get a little friendlier as you move forward and get into some of these NFC North teams headed down the stretch here.
Chris Burke from The Athletic with me. All right, Dak Prescott throws for over 400 yards, two 100-yard receivers, one 200-yard receiver for Dallas this past Sunday. Do we read too much into that? Because the Packer defense, you know, after the first week, the Packer defense was like the 85 freaking Bears. And now it was a little bit back down to earth the last couple of weeks with Philly and with Dallas. But, you know, you look at the Cowboy numbers throwing the football, Chris. Can Stafford do that?
I don't know if you expect 440, especially on the road in that environment. I don't think the Lions really want him to have to throw for 440. You kind of almost look at what the Eagles did. You know, that was like a 330-yard offensive performance and just kind of grind it out and capitalize on a turnover or two and win that game. So I think there will be some opportunities. It is a good secondary. They've spent some resources in the last few years to really upgrade that secondary, and I think you're seeing you know, just sort of the impact of that. Jair Alexander is a really good player. You know, Darnell Savage, if he's healthy this week, stepped in and has been good at safety for them. You know, they've got some playmakers back there, but I think one of the biggest things we've seen about this offense so far is that there's enough weapons that if one or two guys is taken out, there should be somebody else there, and that's the case even if TJ Hockenson can't go this week. So I think they'll have some opportunities. I think they'll take some shots down the field. And I really do think a lot of it's going to come back to what Kerryon Johnson can do up against that run defense.
And you got to give credit to the offensive line, and Graham Glasgow over the last few weeks has played very well. And I know we've had this discussion numerous times about the rotation and Wiggins getting some opportunities. Where do you think that stands? And, you know, is Glasgow earning himself a pretty big payday with the way he's played?
Yeah, I mean, he's been really good. And I think, Frank, that interior really has been good for most of the year. Frank Ragnow's been outstanding. Glasgow, like you said, has been solid. I think Joe Dahl's been as good as you could have hoped him to be when the season started. So they've been really solid inside. And that's one of the things we're going to have to wait and see after this season ends. I don't think they do. You know, Bob Quinn's never done an extension in season, so you probably are waiting till when things are done here. But it's going to be an interesting decision, because it's, you know, it's not quarterback money to pay an offensive guard, but it's going up from, you know, he was not a first round draft pick. It's a mid late round pick price up to whatever it happens to be, you know, $7-8 million at least per year, probably. And that's a big commitment, but I think it'd be hard to let him go given how well he's playing and how much progress he's shown and how valuable he is just because he can play so many different spots inside.
And the Lions have some money. It's not like they don't. It's not like they won't have it this offseason. They've got it right now, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we always do this every offseason. Oh, they're, you know, they have X amount of dollars, and it seems like whenever you need it, you find a way to get it. And that certainly is one where I think that they pay up, you know, they have a similar decision with A'shaun Robinson on the other side, where you look at it and say, well, maybe you could find a cheaper version of this guy, but is he going to be as good as the player you spent 4 years developing? And probably not. So, you know, between the two of them, that eat up a decent amount of next year's cap. But I think, like you said, the money's there. I think they'll have the money in this offseason. And those are probably two guys I think they'll they'll try to get locked up at some point.
Final thing for Chris Burke from The Athletic. How much will Monday night sit at the lap of Daryl Bevel in terms of creativity? And like you said, you know, the Smiths up front for the Packers that they've added, some of the guys in the secondary, their defense is definitely better. But how much of this game maybe may come down to what Daryl Bevel has creatively to kind of beat what Green Bay has on D?
Yeah, you mentioned the Smiths. Those are two really good players, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and two guys that I thought the Lions maybe could have taken a run at too this offseason, just given what they needed. They're versatile guys. They get after the quarterback. And I do think it's another big test for Daryl Bevel. Like I said, I think they can run the ball on this defense. And so that opens up a lot for what Daryl Bevel wants to do and what Matthew Stafford does well. And Stafford's played pretty well in Lambeau the last few times he's been there. So you should be able to, like, again, you should be able to get some shots, maybe spread the ball around. I really do think it's going to look, if it goes well for them, I think it's going to look a lot like the Chiefs game, where they're trying to have the ball for, you know, 35, 38 minutes, keep Rodgers off the field, move it down the, you know, nickel and dime it down the field, and then take a couple shots here and there. And, yeah, a lot of that goes back to how well Stafford's playing and how well Bevel calls it up.
Maybe they'll have Matt Prater throw a touchdown again.
Yeah, that one's always in the bag there.
Yeah, that was like the highlight of the season last year. that and Pat McAfee going crazy. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there's more highlights this year for them, I guess, than you know, the Week 17 kicker touchdown pass.
Although you're going to be at the game, I'm going to be obviously sitting at home. I just realized I'm going to have to spend 3 hours with Joe Tessitore and Booger again next Monday. That's a painful listen, don't you think?
Do you like it better or worse than last year's group?
I used to think that Witten never said anything and he was like the master of the obvious. I think I miss Jason Witten on those broadcasts. That's a rough listen, Chris.
I liked Joe Tessitore when he was doing
Me too.
Football.
I agree.
I don't know that it hasn't transitioned quite as naturally for whatever reason, but I'm looking forward to that. It's always fun to go to Lambeau. You know, it's one of those places that just the venue kind of sells itself. So it'll be fun. It should be a good game. I think this is a really big game in the NFC North, and give us a feel for who's the team to beat here.
Could you imagine if they win this thing? Oh man. Parade on Tuesday, Chris. You better get the first flight out.
Yeah. I think people are kind of waiting to see if they can score that big, big victory. And these next two, I think you got to split them. Green Bay, and then you come home on a short week and play Minnesota. I think they've got to go at least 1-1 if they're hoping to stay in this division. But, yeah, I mean, if you find a way to win this game in Green Bay, it sort of flips the division on its head pretty early and puts the Lions in the driver's seat. So, we'll see. I think it's something that we're even talking about, that like they've got a pretty good opportunity here. I think that says something about, you know, sort of the progress they've made.
I agree wholeheartedly. All right, Chris, safe travels.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, Chris Burke from TheAthletic.com does a fantastic job writing and covering for the Detroit Lions. They're covering the Detroit Lions and doing so for The Athletic. So please subscribe so you can get on there and read Chris's stuff. It is fantastic. We appreciate his time, and he's spot on, man. It's exciting. It's exciting for media folks. It's exciting for just, you know, podcast hosts like me, fans. Monday Night Football at Green Bay, and the Lions are playing for something. They've been playing pretty well. They're off a bye. They've had time to prepare. And hopefully they show up and play a good football game and pull this off. It would be unbelievable. Guys, we've got to talk about sex, good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. You go to BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue, Chew.com. What do they do at Blue Chew? It's simple. They bring you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So, you know they work. You take them any time, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So, you can be ready whenever an opportunity does arise, all right? It's not just for guys who can't perform. It's for anybody who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom, all right? Blue Chew is prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So, no in-person visits to the doctor, no waiting in the pharmacy. And best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the United States of America, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, it's cheaper than going to a pharmacy. Right now, special deal for our Locked On Lions listeners. If you go to BlueChew.com, get your first shipment free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. That's it. BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, we wrap things up here on this Tuesday, October 8th, and a Wednesday, October 9th, right here on Locked On Lions. Lions getting ready for the Packers next Monday night, or this coming Monday night. If you watched last night's Monday night game, you saw the Niners and Browns play, and you saw San Francisco all of a sudden off to this unbeaten start and playing pretty well. There was a little bit of controversy today. Michael Silver, who's a known Hugh Jackson apologist, went on the NFL Network and basically and got some quotes from Richard Sherman, who said that he was upset with Baker Mayfield for not shaking his hand. And Silver wrote this entire piece about how Baker didn't shake his hand before the coin flip, and it was this big snub before the coin flip. And it turns out Mayfield did shake Sherman's hand, and Silver kind of, you know, pushed the narrative a little bit. That fired up the 49ers. And it turns out that after the coin toss, Baker ran back to the sideline instead of doing the customary handshake after the coin toss. Bottom line is this. Silver was trying to manufacture something. He's nothing but a Hugh Jackson slappy. And if you recall, Hugh doesn't get along with Baker anymore because Baker Mayfield played for Hugh Jackson last year. So my thought on this is the following. Be very careful what you write or what you put on Twitter or social media, because there's going to be video sometimes to not back up your point, and it makes Silver look like an idiot. Oh, Baker didn't shake his hand. Yes, he did. He shook it beforehand. Now, what's Richard Sherman doing? Of course he's going to use it as motivation for him not shaking his hand after the coin toss. But he didn't get the whole story right. So there's that. All right, we're brought to you today by our friends at MyBookie and Blue Chew. We'll be back again tomorrow with Peter Bukowski, the voice of Locked On Packers. We'll get Peter on and do the Locked On Wednesday crossover. So looking forward to doing that tomorrow with Peter. We've had him on before and talked to him last year. So Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers tomorrow on the Locked On crossover. Talk to you again then.